Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thank you for listening to Spin, the Rally Pod, brought to you by Dirtfish Rally School. For your chance to experience life behind the wheel of a rally car, head to drive.dirtfish.com to find the course that's right for you. What are you waiting for? We're right here waiting for you.
So are you starting this, Colin, or shall I?
Yeah, that's exactly the way we should start a new year, isn't it? With a little bit of a disagreement, David.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, mate.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? All right, here we go.
I'm born ready. Chris Meek said that to me yesterday. He's born ready.
Did he? He always was, wasn't he? Right, yeah. Here we go.
Do you know he's doing NASCAR? Oh, sorry. Right, let's go. Whenever you're ready. I was born
ready. That's not a secret.
It's not. No. Well, it was. I missed it completely until yesterday.
Is that right?
Yeah, shut up. Move on. Right.
So you weren't quite born quite so ready.
No, quite. Born almost ready. We should get this.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's start.
Here we go. Well, hello, Dirtfish friends, and a very, very happy new year to you. Hope you've all had a wonderful Christmas, a relaxing, a restful, a peaceful Christmas.
It was yours?
I certainly did. Yeah, moderately, I'd have to say. I did quite a lot of cooking. In fact, I cooked every day, David.
But did you?
Do you know what? There is something quite relaxing in cooking, isn't there?
Was it good?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So I decided to be a bit creative. So traditional Christmas day fare... you know, which the secret to that clearly is preparation. And you know when your kids get to a certain age and they can help out in the kitchen, it is the biggest
one. Whether luxury. They want to or not.
Whether they want. But do you know what? My boy actually quite likes it. He quite likes peeling potatoes and peeling carrots.
Yeah.
So we spent Christmas Eve and a little bit the day before just doing things like the ham, the stuffing, preparing. Yeah. Christmas Day, it was reasonably well organised. And then what do you do with the leftovers? So Boxing Day, turkey, ham and stuffing pie.
Bubbling
squeak. The day after Boxing Day... was just a kind of a turkey, ham, and stuffing curry, which was quite nice. A kind of korma curry, yeah, really nice, creamy curry. And the day after that, I used the curry mix, turned them into fritters, and did fritters. Turkey, ham, and stuffing
beginning
fritters.
To wish I'd never
asked.
Oh, my
asked. God.
So the food was good. It was Happy New Year to everybody. I'm David Evans, by the way, given that Colin hasn't bothered to introduce me. And there is only the two of us. Why is that, Col?
Well, because it's New Year, David.
No, because we forgot to schedule this pod with everybody else. So it's just the two of us. It's a quiet fireside chat. That'll be nice.
So in terms of the start to the year, it's not the best, is it? We've had a small disagreement already. We've forgotten to schedule the pod.
It's going well.
Let's just get it all out the way early. Get it all out the way early.
Exactly. Have you got any New Year's resolutions? Maybe to talk less. Is that that's
no,
a good one?
No, not to talk less. To talk less, but to do a little more. To do a little more. I've decided. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah, work harder.
Well, not work harder. I think I work reasonably hard. But just to do a little more. To be a little bit more productive. To do a little bit more in terms of my fitness, David. Because like you, I'm advancing a little bit in years, and I feel it. I feel the stiffness and the tiredness. So you and I are embarking on a Get Fit campaign this year.
Really excellent. I'm all
genuinely.
For that.
Genuinely, the two of us. And we'll set little targets along the way, little challenges along the way, maybe little wagers along the way, so there's a bit of money in it, because that's always motivating for me.
Like that like that hill we both raced up in Estonia. Remember that? And I won.
Which one was that?
When we were running towards the media zone, and we had a little race up the hill. Running not the steep hill that I pushed you back down.
I didn't think there were any hills in Estonia.
It was just a wee hill that just near the press office.
Oh, not the blimmin', not on the runway. The one that you tried to kill me on. No. But I'm like a mountain goat on those hills. Straight up to the top. Straight down.
So what are you looking forward to this year? Apart from getting fit.
Oh, rally wise and in terms of you know, in terms of the year ahead, you know, I am really, really more so than I have been since maybe 2017, really looking forward to the championship and the championship fight. You know, nobody wanted to see Khalilov and Pera taking a year out. Or going part-time for the year. He's not taking a year out. But what it does do, David, it opens it up. It really does open it up. And we've got, you know, three or four, certainly three drivers there who will, I think, be fighting right through until the final round in Japan for the title. I don't know where to put my money this year. And that's unusual. That's unusual, isn't it? You know,
would you, 12 months ago, would you have said Calais again? Definitely.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. You know, we knew that. Once he developed through that first championship year, he wasn't the finished article. And I suppose the scary thing is, he probably still isn't the finished article. Mm. You know, but he got better through that first championship year. And you couldn't see anyone beating him last year. I couldn't anyway.
Well, certainly not once the year got going. Once he got to, was it Portugal or wherever he won? Because he did, he sort of misfired slightly, didn't he, in the start of the year. But we've been through all of that. But I agree completely that it is incredibly difficult to know where to put your money. And it is really exciting. Okay, yeah. It's only three drivers, it's not 10, but it's three drivers who are remarkably closely matched. And there's that plot, then there's the subplots of you know, the stuff like Toyota, how much will Toyota help Elvin? What can Taka do? What's it going to, you know, where's Ogier going? Which events is he going to do? Which events will Calais do? And then you've got the super subplot of Hyundai, which, you know, it's hard to imagine a more exciting news story really coming into a year to see how Tanak and Neville will get on. You know, they made, I think it's fair to say, first time around, they made the best of it. Tanak arrived there as a world champion. It wasn't easy for Thierry that. But by the end of it, it wasn't the best of relationships in the whole team. And to see how they can pick that up, yeah, it's a very different management group at the top of the team right now. But still, they are two of the most competitive. And with Thierry, I would say one of the most politically astute within sort of inter-team politics.
Totally.
Whereas Tanak is, he kind of plays the game, but he's also very much a heart on the sleeve, get out of my way, I'm coming through kind of guy, isn't he? So very different characters.
Oh, totally. And I totally agree with you about the you're politically astute and playing the game. And we saw that, didn't we, at the end of last year with some of the things, once the Tanak announcement had been made public, some of the things that Thierry was saying were very much aimed at that perceived kind of inter-team battle that we're going to have next year. You're talking about the need to do what's right for the manufacturer, talking about the need to work with the people within the team. He was playing that political game nice and early. He was getting the first blow in, David. And as you say, Tanak doesn't really think that way. Tanak, you know, I struggle to work out how Tanak does think, but he doesn't think that way. He doesn't think that way. You know, he's not politically, he just wants to politically motivated or minded or, you know, driven in how he conducts his business. Whereas Tanak just wants to get behind the wheel and drive quickly. That's all he wants to do. And he doesn't really play mind games as such, does he? I think the only people he plays mind games with Tanak are maybe us, the media. And I genuinely think at times he does. But I can't wait to see that.
No, I'd agree with that. I think, you know, and even with us, he's not, you know, it's not complicated with the media. You know, he just, at times, he absolutely doesn't suffer fools, you know, and he learned, as we've said 100 times now, he learned from that Adamo school of, you know, if you ask a closed question, you're going to get a very closed answer. And he's learned to do the yes and no. And he sees no harm in that at all. Whereas, you know, someone like Taka or somebody else would be much more expansive with their answer. Oh, it's not.
But I think he took it a bit far at the end of the year. He took it a little bit far. You know, and it almost became a challenge for him to see just how difficult he could be with some people. And yeah, you know, he's got every right with certain folk to pull them up and to be as rude as he likes with them, you know, as rude as he likes. But others I thought at the end of the year, he was a little bit harsh with, but that's his prerogative. That is his prerogative. Yep. And if that's how he manages to do what he's got to do, and if that's how he manages to get through situations that he sees as being difficult, well, that's fine. That's fine. We are there. We are cannon fodder, you know, and we'll take it. You know, we're big enough to take it. But well, how will that work, David? How will that work next year in the team? Because, you know, this ability to play the political, the politics, to be a little bit savvy in terms of the mind games, it's going to be really, really important. Because don't forget, you know, yes, Oit Tanak is going back to a new boss, to a new technical director, But a lot of people within that team are the same people that he left a year ago.
You know, and you've got to re-motivate them, haven't you? And,
Correct.
Around a little bit. But ultimately, that team, they want to win. They haven't won a championship for a few years now. They've never won a Drivers' Championship. So there will be, as much as you can see that Elfyn Evans is seeing this as a massive opportunity, so are Hyundai drivers. You know, and Thierry was great, you know, and Thierry talked about, and Oit the same, when they talked about Calais' decision to do a part-time season in this year, you know, they both said, we want the competition. And of course they do. But at the same time, it does bring opportunity. And excuse me, they'd be stupid not to see that. Yeah, and I think they will. But let's just very quickly go. very quickly go through the calendar. So, Monty, of the two of them, Thierry Oit, I would say you'd favour Neville for Monty.
Absolutely.
Tanak for Sweden.
Well, road position will play a big part in Sweden, but if who's going to win Monty? It's probably going to be
Seb.
Seb, Roger. Yeah, but then he won't do Sweden. So
there's potential for the FIA to fiddle with road position. You know, I think they alluded a little bit to it in the last World Council, and there's been some back channel chatter in the corridors of power, I believe, about trying to avoid essentially what goes on a Friday, and having, you know, the fact that they've now got, well, they've got Ogier, Kalle Rovanperä, Andreas Mikkelsen, Espe Kalapi, and Danny Sordo all potentially playing in a really strong position on pretty much every round. And they're keen to avoid that. So I wonder if they actually might bring back some sort of seeding. So, you know, Sebastian Ogier might think, or, you know, Kalle Rovanperä might think, I'm in a great place for Sweden, sixth or seventh on the road. And the FIA could say, well, actually, mate, you know, you've won it. You're a former winner, I think. Actually, you're going to go second on the road. Yeah. And
I'm not sure about seeding. Seeding can be quite subjective, can't it?
But it worked for donkey's years, didn't it?
Well, yeah, it did. It did work for donkey's years. You're absolutely right. But what about the qualifying stage? What objections might we have to the qualifying stage being reintroduced? Again, you could argue that there's an issue with road position on the qualifying stage.
100%.
The qualifying stage worked pretty well for years. It was only dropped, David, because Ogier kept winning it.
Yeah, exactly. Which, in fairness, he was going to win everything. You know, even if the bloke was in a wheelbarrow, he was going to win everything at that time. That was where he was. And actually, for me, the qualifying stage, if you look to somewhere like Sweden or Portugal or Sardinia or whatever, the road will have cleaned. By the time they've done their free practice whatever, and
that's it.
The road will be clear, so just get on with it. So I think,
And that's right. That's the way to do it is to, you know, you don't have the first pass, the first time the drivers are seeing the road as the qualifying stage. You have, you know, one or two runs first as a free practice and then the qualifying stage, or one run, then the qualifying stage. And that kind of levels it out a bit. So, yeah, I don't know. But what I think, David, is they do need to think long and hard about some of these changes, because clearly, I'm going slightly off where you were going. You were going through the calendar. Apologies, mate.
No, it's fine.
All rallying, one source. By now, you know that dirtfish.com is the place to go for all of your rallying news. But when it's time to try your hand behind the wheel, just join us here at Dirtfish Rally School, nestled in the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington. Whether you're a pro seeking extra seat time or a novice looking to get started, we've got programs tailored to all rallying needs. And when you want to watch the best in the world, just head over to our YouTube channel. Our coverage of the WRC and American rallying is second to none. Follow us at Dirtfish Rally across all social media platforms and shop the latest looks in our merchandise store now. As always, rally on.
I am more and more concerned about this Sunday points thing the more I think about it. We will have, David, by the final stage of the rally, we will have three leaderboards. Overall leaderboard, Sunday leaderboard, power stage leaderboard.
We'll have one overall classification.
But we'll have three leaderboards, because we'll want to know who is winning the rally. We will want to know who is winning Sunday. There'll be a Sunday leaderboard for the points, and there'll be a power stage leaderboard. There will be three leaderboards on a Sunday.
That, I think I that's mean, what the sports needed, more leaderboards.
For you and I, who completely understand that, I have no issues with three leaderboards. Give us four, five or six. Yeah. I don't care. I understand it.
But a man in the street.
My issue is, you know, well, so who's winning this rally? Is it the guy that's leading that leaderboard? Or, oh, no, hang on. No, there's that one. Oh, no, no, but there's this one here with these bigger times on it. What does this mean?
And then the guy who finishes second has got more points than the guy who finished first. It's
just to complicate it a little further.
Yeah. There is. I've got a bit of an explainer story, which I'm writing today, about how the whole thing came about. So the FAA is coming for some significant criticism over its handling with the points and with the decisions made over Rally 1, Rally 2. You know, that whole thing still rumbles on. I would say that debate has intensified since it went from the FIA's firm intention of changing everything to Rally 2 for 2025 to reverting back to, okay, we'll just stick with Rally 1. You know, more and more people have come and have been in contact with me over the holiday period and saying, it's nuts. You know, why are we sticking with these cars when we patently, we can't afford them and we could have a championship that brings much more competition, blah, blah, blah. So stay tuned to dirtfish.com. There is a bit of an explainer about how all of these decisions came about.
I like reading your explainers. It does help me.
Sometimes take me quite a while to write them. It's an element of the blind leading the blind. But calendar, Cole. What about the calendar? Yeah. I do have it open in front of me, so I won't rely on your memory. But we have, obviously, we've got Poland coming back, Latvia coming in. Yeah. And those are the only changes. Yeah, of course, we've lost Mexico. Safari back to a March date, which is a more traditional kind of Easterish date, which should bring it back into, if there is such a thing in these meteorologically challenged times of a rainy season.
Good job. Mm. That was well pronounced.
It was, I struggled a bit.
But listen, some of those pictures that came out of the classic Safari were just unbelievable.
Yeah,
just unbelievable. Crazy. The amount of mud and water and, you know, and the wadis that were flooded and all sorts. You got to say that with your, when we were in that kind of March period in previous iterations of the rally, you know, we had cars that were specifically designed to deal with those conditions. Mm. Nowadays, we don't. We've got cars that have a gravel setup that are slightly adapted.
Yeah. I don't think the route would be quite as challenging these days, and it wouldn't go to the same challenging kind of lengths. And not in terms of just stage lengths, but also way out into the middle of nowhere where all of those bodies and what have you are. You know, I think it's much more of a stage, isn't it, than a section.
That's very true.
But the change of date is interesting. But for me, one of the real interesting things is Poland back. Mm. You know, if we thought Finland was quick with these cars, then Poland is going to be supercharged, isn't it?
But Poland is just ridiculously quick. You know, and we know that. We know that from previous years at Rally Poland with the WRC cars last
year. The 17 cars were there, weren't they?
The 17 cars were there as well, of course they were. Mm. But even you look back to ERC rounds in Poland and you look at average speeds on some of those stages and they're phenomenal average speeds. Poland, there's a lot of pressure, isn't there? Because Poland was always a great rally. It was always one we really, really enjoyed. It's a great place to base the rally. You've got that enormous hotel, you've got the super special in the grounds of the hotel.
Huge numbers of fans,
a great atmosphere. But there are big challenges. The reason it left the calendar was that they were just incapable of controlling that huge number of fans. For me, that's going to be their biggest challenge. You know, how are they going to get on with the increased numbers? What are they going to do to try and mitigate any potential problems? Because in terms of the competition, in terms of the rally, it will be spectacular. It will be you think of, you know, moments pop into your mind. You know, when you mention Rally Poland, and there are, I don't know, but maybe it's just me, but I get things flashing into my brain, and a couple of things just flashed there. And one was Oit Tanak over that jump in very narrow section with all those fans, and the other was Chris Meek coming over the jump sideways.
Yes,
and about, oh, I think a minute and a half later, he came to the stop line, and I asked him, you know, Chris, nice steady run through there. Steady. You call that steady? Slamming his gloves into that typical Chris Meek, complete petulance. And, you know, he'd had enough of that. And off he went. Off he went. And I thought, well, what provoked that response? And then 20 minutes later, someone showed me the video. I went, oh, yeah.
Not so steady.
Not so steady.
It's 7 years since we've been to Poland. So it was 2017 was the last time we were there. So it's a long time for WRC to be away. And it is for me, it's going to be really exciting. It's an ultra fast rally. Like you say, it will be a challenge because it is so, so popular. But in the last 7 years, we have seen significant improvements in spectator control and safety. And you know, Michel Mouton and Nicolas Clanger do an incredible job with doing that side of things. So I think I've got every confidence that the FAA and the WRC promoter will have that fixed. But what it does, you know, that just looking at the date there, it is the end of June, 27th to the 30th of June. We've then got Poland, Latvia, Finland. You know, that is a proper summer of absolute speed, isn't it? Because Latvia's pretty much... Have you been to Latvia?
Yeah. No, I was supposed to go about 10 years ago and didn't go. I mean, because it was always in the winter, wasn't it? It was early January.
Yeah, that's right.
Leopaya. I've never been. I'm told it's an interesting place with some interesting roads.
Yeah, but generally, you know, of the same nature of Estonia and all of those Baltic kind of countries, they are quick roads.
Where did we go, David? Remember that day from Poland where we went into? Was it Latvia we went into or Lithuania?
Yes.
That was Lithuania, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Stay on the line, caller. Just checking the geography of the job. Poland, Lithuania.
Cross the border.
Indeed, it was Lithuania. Right. And if we'd
I haven't been to Latvia. Definitely haven't been to Latvia.
If we'd carried on through Lithuania, we'd have ended up in Latvia. And if we'd have carried on through Latvia, we'd have ended up in Estonia. And if we'd then got our feet wet, keep going north, we'd have ended up in Finland.
There we go.
Bit of geography. Now, just a quick one. Can you tell me... You don't know where to put your money, but you have to now. And let's not do a silly 1-2-3. Who is gonna? I've had a bet with Andrea Adamo, and you can come in on this. So the bet with Adamo is I'm betting that Elvin Evans will be world champion. And the loser, if I lose and Elvin's not world champion, I have to buy Andrea dinner in London. And if I win, which of course I will, he has to buy us dinner in Turin because you're always invited, obviously. Am I safe, do you think?
That's such a tough one. So here's what I've always said. You know, you need... To be a world champion, you need a good supporting team around you. You need a good wingman, don't you?
Yeah.
So you'd have to say that... Neither Neuville nor Tanak have a good wingman.
No, because their wingman is their biggest rival.
Exactly. Whereas Elvin Evans has got Takamoto there. Now, can Takamoto offer that help, that assistance, take those extra points when needed, when Elvin has a bad day? But what he can rely on, David, in every single rally, he will have either Seb Ogier or Kalle Rovanperä.
He'll have a world champion.
What better wingmen could you ask for? Question is, how much, and I think you asked this at the top of the show, David, how much will they be prepared to support Elvin?
You know, are they going to be... That's going to be an interesting one, isn't it?
I can see Kalle Rovanperä offering 100% support to Elvin Evans, 100%. In every situation, I can see him doing whatever is necessary to help Elvin in terms of getting ahead of his opponents and maybe even to give him positions. I can see that happening. Ogier, I'm not so sure. Ogier's biggest fan. But Ogier's motivation is different. Ogier is just there to win.
Yeah.
But he's also there to help the team. He's there for the manufacturers. Is he there to help them win the driver's title? Because if he is, and that's his motivation from the start of the year, Elvin Evans has the best two wingmen in the business and will win.
It is a funny one, isn't it, for Ogier? You know, I was lucky enough to spend a bit of time in Madrid with him just before Christmas, and it was great. You know, we had a real good chat all off the record and just really interesting. And he's a lovely, lovely guy. A totally down-to-earth, incredible fella. but like you say, his motivation is different. And in some ways, I remember talking to him about this before, about, you know, do you help a teammate? And he was like, well, nobody really ever helped me. And that's the issue, isn't it? Excuse me. Is that in many ways, he fought against everything, because coming from Citroën with Loeb, it couldn't have been harder for him.
He's a fighter. He's a battler. And he's not, you know, fighters and battlers don't really give an awful lot back, do they? They don't give a lot back. You know, they are there for one reason and one reason only. And he has had to fight harder than just about anyone to achieve what he's achieved in the sport. By the way, David, did you remember to wish Ogier a happy 40th birthday? Because he did just turn 40.
I did. And it was,
well done.
It was quite an interesting one, because I said, you know, what do you think? 40, is it? Is it? Are you good with that? And he said, well, it's not 20, is it? And that kind of summed it up. But now he's one of the most genuine, decent fellas.
Yeah.
Decent people.
Totally agree.
You can meet and work with. And I think you're right. You know, if he's minded to, he could offer Elvin, you know, a significant amount of help. And I think one thing that will work for Ogier is the concept of beating Hyundai. You know, yes, he wants the manufacturer's championship, but also maybe he doesn't want a Hyundai driver to ruin their run of Toyota drivers winning the championship. It's another subplot, isn't it? It is going to be fascinating.
I'm Kellen Koschel, and I just did my first Dirtfish course, which was the one-day women's course. My biggest surprise was how calm it could be in the car, and the calmer I was, the faster I could make the car go. The surprising thing about driving was that it wasn't necessarily a mental thing. I had to really get out of my head and into my body more, and I just felt a little more comfortable doing that for the first time around a group of women. But I will say, I do feel like I could do any of the Dirtfish courses now. I kind of know what to expect, and you know, hopefully more women get into motorsports, and then any day could be an all-women's day if just enough of us are in the sport. If I were talking to someone who was thinking about taking a class but was kind of on the fence, it would be, you know, what are you waiting for? It's such a fun experience. You're going to really learn something, and you're going to push your limits, and maybe you'll even have some more confidence.
Most fascinating for you, Colt, is where you're off to imminently.
Oh, imminently. I am off to Saudi Arabia for the Dakar, which I'm feeling better prepared this year, David, because if you remember last year...
You've got a tent.
I left on the 27th of December, and on the 26th of December, I realised I was going to be camping for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it was. 3 weeks, wasn't it?
So you went Boxing Day tent shopping.
I'd seen all these emails, and I kind of skimmed through them where it talked about, you know, lists that you need for camping. I'm thinking, that doesn't apply to me. Obviously, they've got a hotel for me. And then on the 26th, I thought, better read these things properly. Oh dear. So it was all a little bit mad, and it was very much a voyage of discovery, the Dakar last year. I am so much better prepared this year, David. I've decided the most important thing is sleep, and it genuinely is. Mm. So what tends to happen is, particularly the media folk that follow the circus around, they take these little pop-up tents with them. Yeah. And they're great. They're great in that you can pop them up in literally a minute. You can take them down in a minute. But they offer no comfort. So I've got myself a decent tent with a bit of space.
Good.
I've got myself a proper little camp bed, a little bit heavier, but it's a proper little camp bed. I've bought myself, you'll be really, really surprised at this. This is how prepared I am. I've actually gone and bought some sand pegs for my tent because those silly little ones don't work. Right. The little kind of hooky ones don't work in the sand, obviously, which I hadn't thought about before I went last time. I bought myself some compression bags, a big cargo bag, because wheeled duffel bags are no good in the sand. They don't roll in the sand, wheeled duffel bags.
Never thought of that.
So I am actually feeling quite well prepared for it and really, really looking forward to it. Although I have to say, I've seen some pictures coming out of Saudi Arabia. They once again have had some pretty blooming heavy rain. Some pretty heavy rain. That's my ultimate nightmare, is a wet, muddy, soggy tent. But anyway,
you are totally on your own, aren't you? It's lashing down with rain, and it's just right, off you go. Yeah. Go and find the space and pitch your tent.
That's exactly it. And you get to your last year. Thank goodness I had booking.com, because we got to... where was the place we got to? I can't remember the name of it. But we'd skipped one of the bivouacs because it was underwater. So we'd gone to this place for 2 nights. And honestly, we arrived, and before all the trucks had arrived, the place was under about a foot of mud. You know, once the trucks had gone through, there was 3 or 4 feet of mud, and people were trying to pitch tents in the rain, in the mud, and it was like, booking.com, Uber, I'm off. but yeah, there is the thought of pitching a tent and taking it down. Sleeping in a tent in the rain is fine, and it's actually quite comforting. But pitching a tent and then taking it down again in mud and rain is quite a challenge. But it's great fun. The adrenaline keeps you going.
Yeah.
It is genuinely great fun. It's a great challenge. And this year we've got, you know, we've got a lot of big rally names there, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. No, it is. It's going to be a great event. And obviously look on dirtfish.com for a full preview to the event. We were a little bit late with our Chris Meek story. Apologies for that. But we got there in the end. But yeah, no, it is. It's going to be a really, it's going to be a good one. And it's going to be interesting. We're going to keep in touch with you on a daily basis. What form that's going to take is still to be decided when you get out there and you are in the middle of...
Might be the odd abusive text. Who knows?
Yeah, well, exactly. Whatever you can manage. You know, it is, in terms of communications, it's a challenging part of the world. The empty quarter is the empty quarter for a reason. Yeah. It's going to be great. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. So very much looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that event. And then obviously straight from there, straight into Monty, which is always the perfect way to start the year.
Well, and the great thing is, David, you know, we've normally had by this point in the year, by the start of the new year, we've normally had all of the Monty testing. We've got all that to look forward to in the next week or so, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, there's plenty of anticipation, plenty of build-up, plenty to keep us interested. What's the other rally that's running as well in the next few days? There's one in Europe that's running that I think... I can't remember.
There is always Yana. I don't know. Is Yana Rally?
Yana. Maybe the Yana Rally. They've got some interesting names there as well.
It's a good Monty test, isn't it?
So. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And young, what's his name's doing that from the UK? name's just gone, David.
Excellent.
Jeez, you can tell I've
listened to
my brain
Spin the Rally
really...
Pod for lots of interesting detail.
Well, and for top quality detail as well.
Oh,
expert analysis. Young Chris is doing it.
Chris Ingram, I suspect you mean.
Yes!
Excellent. Yes, we got there in the end. I think it might be a good time to stop. That'll do. But obviously, Tuesdays will remain forever your Spin the Rally Pod day. So we're looking forward to keeping in touch with you all year. Lots of stories to come. It's going to be a fascinating year, isn't it, Cole?
It's going to be a fascinating year, David. And would you believe the fifth year of Dirtfish Media? Would you believe that?
It's remarkable, isn't it? I mean, who would have thought? So that means, is it 4 years since I took that photograph of you in the Alps in your underpants? I'm not sure.
Has that been deleted forever yet?
Yes. I really do apologise for broadcasting that bit. It was a sight to behold.
It was one of those situations where you think, you know, can I tell the story?
Yes, I think you should.
So I bought a pack of three undies, three boxer shorts. They weren't boxers; those little briefs. But one of them. So they were medium, but one of them was extra extra large, and I'm thinking, how ridiculous. So anyway, so I packed the extra extra large for some reason. And I got up in the morning and I thought, oh, I'm just going to put these on because no one's ever going to know.
I can't remember. Why do you... Oh, you were putting some long johns on because it was so cold.
I was putting some long johns on because it was so cold. And
I came
around
the back of the car at just the wrong / right moment. Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, that was 4 years ago, David. And you know, I think it's just... Have we got time just to do a bit of trumpet blowing?
Yes. Always.
In those 4 years, you know, I think... You guys at dirtfish.com have done the most remarkable job. You know, dirtfish.com is now the go-to place for the vast majority of rally fans for news, for information, for entertainment. That's an incredible achievement. You look at the Instagram account, nearly 500,000 followers from nothing in 4 years.
Yeah,
YouTube account, tens of millions of views, 275,000 subscribers. TikTok, nearly 1 million followers. From nothing in 4 years. I mean, it is quite remarkable how the rally community have gone on the journey with us, David. They've picked it up, they've gone along with it, they've enjoyed it, And they've shown us in their subscriptions, in their likes, in their views, in their comments, just how much they appreciate it. And in 4 years, you know, Steve Rimmer, the vision that you and Steve had 4.5 years ago, was quite remarkable, and it's incredible. I think it's worth mentioning.
Well, thank you, Colin. And you're obviously you were there from the start. You know, you were the first phone call, and very much part of it from the inception. Yeah. So no, we've done it together, and it has. You know, it's been a proper journey, hasn't it, to launch and dive straight into COVID in 2020, which was a challenge. But we managed it, and it's super exciting. We can't thank Steve Rimmer, and all of our friends and colleagues at Dirtfish Rally School enough. You know, we're nothing without these people, and it's great. It's so exciting to be embarking on a new season in World Championship, and obviously in American Championship as well. We've got Travis Pastrana back, and you know the exciting career that is Leah Blocks to follow from North America. So no, it's going to be a great year. So stay tuned. And Colin, go and pack your bucket and spade, and we will.
Shush. No bucket and spade. I've got my cargo bag, my compression bags, my tent pegs. They're all sitting ready to go, David Evans. Quite excited. Well, might take one more trip to go outdoors because I'm quite enjoying it. I'm quite enjoying it. Oh, yeah, this looks interesting. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Oh, I need those.
I'm sure, mate. Well, you will have a great time. And we look forward to catching up through the event.
Very good. Yeah, there we are, folks. Thank you once again for listening to Spin the Rally Pod. We'll be back with you again next week.